नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कृष्ण. वी रीडिंग वन वर्स फ्रॉम भगवद्गीता. दिस इज द 12th चैप्टर 13th एंड 14th वर्स. अद्वेष्टा सर्वभूतानां मैत्र करुण एव च निर्ममो निरअहंकार सम दुख सुख क्षमि संतुष्ट सततम योगी यतात्मा दृढ़ निश्चय मय्यार्पित मनो बुद्धि यो मद भक्त समे प्रियः. ट्रांसलेशन. वन हु इज नॉट एनवियस बट इज अ काइंड फ्रेंड टू ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज हु डज नॉट थिंक हिमसेल्फ टू बी अ प्रोप्राइटर एंड इज फ्रीड फ्रॉम फॉल्स ईगो हु इज इक्वल इन बोथ हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस हु इज टॉलरेंट ऑलवेज सेटिस्फाइड सेल्फ कंट्रोल्ड एंड एंगेज इन डिवोशनल सर्विस with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Coming to again to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone. Nor does a devotee become his enemy, nor a devotee becomes the enemy of his enemy. A devotee thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Tatte anukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and troubles pertaining to the body because he knows perfectly well that he is not this material body. He does not identify with the body, therefore he is freed from the conception of false ego, equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant, satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty. Therefore, he is always joyful. He is a completely perfect mystic because he is fixed in the instruction received from the spiritual master. Because his senses are controlled, he is determined. He is not swayed by false arguments because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare, but a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulative principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all his activities in full Krishna consciousness. ॐ अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुतः पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण। लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम एट श्री राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर। I apologize because many devotees will be expecting His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to speak, but because Maharaj has to go to Bangalore for some preaching activities, so I have been asked to speak, not qualified, but on His order, I will try to repeat. So I seek the blessings of all of the assembled devotees also. By the mercy of the Vaishnavas, Shri Guru, Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangu Langayate Girim. We have the mercy of the great souls who are representing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual master and the previous acharyas. Even a dumb man can speak. Person who doesn't know how to speak can speak the Vedic literatures. A blind man can see the stars of the sky. A layman can cross Mount Himalayas. A person like me also, I'm simply praying for the mercy. So, the verse we just read today is from the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna is describing to Arjuna the qualities of his pure devotee. Everything has to be judged by the quality. Krishna consciousness is a science, and to understand who is a pure devotee, we take the help of spiritual literatures, the Vedic literature. Here Krishna is explaining some of the symptoms of a pure devotee, that he is not envious of anybody, but he is a kind friend to all living entities. This material world, the tendency is that everybody is envious of everybody else. Everybody wants what the other person has. If somebody excels us in some field, we tend to become envious. Like in one nice lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that if you are doing this service of giving a lecture and somebody else cooks very nicely, then you don't feel envious. But if you are giving a lecture and somebody else gives a better lecture, then you feel envious. Because you forget that actually all abilities are coming from Krishna. The first qualification to understand Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains in the Gita to Arjuna, that because you are non-envious, I am giving you this transcendental knowledge. In the Bhagavatam also it is explained that how this is nirmatsaranam satam. Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental knowledge for one who is not envious. So a devotee is non-envious. Why? Because he sees that all abilities are coming from Krishna. If somebody can speak, somebody can manage, somebody can cook, or somebody can do anything, it is from Krishna. This morning, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was speaking very beautifully, and he was describing how a devotee sees everything is related to Krishna. So he sees that all the abilities are also coming from Krishna. See, if I'm envious of a fellow devotee, I'm actually being envious of Krishna. By understanding that all the abilities are coming from Krishna, one can become non-envious. And of course, gradually, by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, one can become freed from envy. Envy is a basic disease which binds us to this material world. The reason why we came to this material world is because we are envious of Krishna. So, by taking shelter of the holy name, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, one can become freed from envy. And naturally, the second quality Krishna describes is, a devotee is a kind friend to all living entities. He sees his Lord Krishna within the heart of every living being. we tend to have friendship with those who are kind to us, and we become inimical to those who are inimical to us. Tooth for tooth, eye for eye. That is the logic. But a devotee, he is kind to everybody. He is a friend to everybody because he can see that Krishna is in every living being. Today morning, Radhanath Maharaj was explaining how materially and spiritually, if you analyze, you will understand that every living being is your brother. Because material nature is mother and Krishna is the father. Or even if you see from an immediate point of view, the elements which help you gain a body, they are coming from Krishna. So a devotee can see that everybody is part of Krishna. I am also part of Krishna. And seeing Krishna in everybody, he feels joyful. He is kind to every living being. And he is not envious of even those who are envious of him. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that if somebody misbehaves with a devotee thinks that this is due to my past misdeeds. This person is misbehaving towards me. In my past life, I must have harassed somebody. So I am just getting the reaction. So this person is simply purifying me of my reactions quickly and helping me go back to Godhead. So if somebody misbehaves or mistreats, that is a blessing. He is helping you to go back to Godhead faster. Of course, we should not try to help others go back to Godhead in this way. We should not think, oh, let me help me become tolerant like a tree. These qualities are to be taught by example, not by force. There's a very nice story in the Mahabharata of how Yudhishthira Maharaj was such a non-envious person. One of the names described in the Mahabharata for Yudhishthira Maharaj is Ajatashatru. Anybody knows the meaning of the word Ajatashatru? One who does not have any enemy. Ajata means has not taken birth, whose enemy has not taken birth. Then the question, how is it is said that Yudhishthira Maharaj is Ajatashatru? He had so many enemies. After all, the battlefield of Kurukshetra was not fought in a loving, exchanging mood. It was not that Duryodhana loved Yudhishthira so much, he was garlanding him with arrows or throwing loving swords. This was a very fierce battle. How can you say that Yudhishthira Maharaj had no enemy? There was Karna, there was Duryodhana, Dushasan, and so many other. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, personally, he loved Duryodhana as much as he loved Bhima. It is inconceivable how one can love somebody whom he hates. You see, unless we develop these qualities, we cannot go back to Godhead. If we love one person and hate another, then we will have problems in the spiritual world. The spiritual world means everybody loves everybody else. Because everybody sees Krishna. Everything connected to Krishna. Material nature makes us think that one person is friend and the other is enemy. But if you see from the spiritual point of view, you see that all that is there is different parts of Krishna. It's like the sun and the different rays. Krishna is like the sun and all the living entities are like the rays. So you see, everything is connected in connection with Krishna. So you love even those who hate you. The Bible also, it says that one should love even one's enemy. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is an example. You know how much all of you are familiar with Mahabharata. How much Duryodhan, Dushasan and company, they tried to mistreat Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. They were sent to the Lakshagraha. You have heard about this story? The house of Shalak. So in fact, last year, a couple of years back, I had gone to Meerut, place near Delhi. That place is still there, where the Kauravas, they were planning to burn the Pandavas by having a house made of shellac. It was made in such a way that just by the slight ignition, the whole house would turn into fire. And the tunnel is still there from where the Pandavas escaped. In fact, the local devotees, they were showing me the tunnel and I went about 1 or 2 feet. But then I thought I must come back because we don't know where it will go. It's still there, these places. The Mahabharata is not simply some mythical story. The places are still there. Kurukshetra is still there. The place where Bhagavad Gita was spoken, that is still there. Hastinapur is modern day New Delhi, that is still there. Indraprastha is there. So we should understand from the Shastras. Some people, they think that yes, Mahabharata is some allegorical story, that the five Pandavas, they are the five senses, and Kurukshetra means this body is the Kurukshetra. No, it's not like that. So anyway, so Duryodhan, Dushasan, in conjunction with Shakuni, they plotted like this. The Pandavas were sent. So actually Vidura knew about all this scheming. So Vidura gave a hint to Yudhishthir Maharaj to be careful. And at the appropriate time, Vidura sent some of his men to help dig a tunnel. So when the actual fire took place, the Pandavas escaped. The Pandavas, they escaped. So this was the, at that time, Pandavas were not married. This was the story much before. It was just Kunti Maharani and the five Pandavas. And they just ran for their lives. So Duryodhan and others, they were very happy internally. But externally, Dhritarashtra was shedding crocodile tears. You know what is crocodile tears, you know. Just hypocritical. So Dhritarashtra and others, they were thinking the Pandavas are dead. And in the meanwhile, the Pandavas left. They went all over India. They came to Ekachakra. Some of you have been to Ekachakra. This place is in West Bengal, the place where Lord Nityananda Prabhu was performed his childhood pastimes. He appeared there. So the Pandavas were staying at the home of one Brahmana. And this Brahmana was with his wife and one son. And one day, Kunti noticed that the wife of the Brahman was in great anxiety. So she asked her that, what is the reason? Why are you so much distressed? So this Brahmani explained that we are in distress because there is one Rakshasa who stays here. His name is Bakasura. It's a different Bakasura, not from the Krishna Leela. So this Bakasura is such a cruel person that he would come and he would harass the local people and sometimes take away people and eat them. So all the local inhabitants, they decided that we will give some offering to Bakasura, some cartload of food along with the person who carries the food, and Bakasura could eat it. Bakasura was so generous that he would eat the person who would bring him food. This is the height of gratefulness. So cruel. So we had decided like this, and every home had to go in rotation, and tomorrow is our turn. So we are in anxiety because my husband says he will go, I am saying I will go, and my son is saying he will go. This was the very highly advanced civilization where people were volunteering to give themselves for others. Nowadays the family members may say, you please go. I will pray for you, give you full blessing. So somehow or other, Kunti Maharani said, don't worry, my five sons are there. They can, one of them can go. No, 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 you are our guest. How can we let you in? No, no, no. Actually, my five sons are so powerful, they will kill Bakasur. And otherwise, even if one of them dies, I have five sons, whereas you have only one child. So then this proposal was put forward to the Pandavas. And when the news was given that you had to carry one full load of prasadam, who do you think volunteered? So Bhimasen volunteered. And when Bhima took the prasad, he thought, why to carry this heavy load? Let me reduce it. So Bhimasen started eating the prasad. And it was time for the offering. Bakasur's Rajbhog offering. But Bhima was eating himself. And in the meanwhile, Bakasura was very wild. He thought that his food had not come. He was so angry. He came running, mad in anger. And Bhimsen was very happily eating. And then Bakasura became very angry. He said, what is this? You have not brought my food. Bhimsen said, let me finish this. Then I will talk to you. Bakasura was so angry and Bhimsen was eating with one hand and fighting with the other hand and eating with one hand. And after he finished the whole cart load, then he fought with both hands. Now, if you know the story of how Bhimsen killed Bakasura. In the meanwhile, Kunti Maharani was in great anxiety because she was thinking that my son has not come back. Maybe he's in danger. She told Arjuna that you should go and try to find where is Bhima. Arjuna, he shot an arrow, one Naga Astra, from his Gandiva bow. And by the power of that arrow, there was a snake which left hunting for Bakasura. At that time, the arrows were also so powerful. They were very personal. They would chase a particular person, even if that person is hiding in a bunker. Chase it. They were more powerful than today's nuclear weapons. You heard in the Mahabharata. So finally, Bhimsen came back. And then Arjun realized that Bhimsen is back. What is the use of the arrow? So he has already shot the arrow. So then it was moving about and Arjuna instructed him that you should not trouble people, that Naga. But it so happened that Naga, that snake, was wandering around Ekachakra for many, many years and causing pain to people. So in the Kali Yuga, when Lord Nityananda Prabhu came, he appeared in Ekachakra. And he subdued the snake. By his power, he put the snake inside and inside the ground. And with his earring, he took off his earring and sealed the ground. That place is still there. Many, many years back in one yatra, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had taken us there, where the kundala of Nityananda Prabhu is there. So the Pandavas, they came back, and as you know, so many difficulties they had to go through. Before this, they tried to give poison to Bhimsen. Bhimsen, not knowing, he consumed. And he was thrown in the water. But then Bhimsen, having taken poison, he was unconscious. And he went down, down, down to the lower planetary systems. And there, the Nagas, they started attacking Bhimsen. And because the Nagas, they are poisonous. And the science of the poison is that one poison neutralizes another poison. So Bhimsen was bitten by the snakes. And because of that, his poison neutralized. And then He became conscious and he fought with the Nagas and defeated them. But finally, he came back with getting some special power of 10,000 elephants. As you know, the Pandavas, Draupadi was insulted. Yesterday, I was hearing one nice lecture by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining how this incident of Draupadi is very instructive. You see, when Draupadi was being insulted, first she tried to take help of the elders, Bhishma, Drona. They were all sitting there. But none of them could help. She turned to her own husbands, the mighty Arjuna and Bhima. But they could not help. Then Draupadi realized that, let me try on my own. She tried to hold her cloth by her own strength. But finally she realized there's nobody else except Krishna. Just to understand, this one sentence is a perfection of life. There's nobody else except Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Full dependence on the mercy of the Lord is the perfection of life. So when Draupadi realized that she is helpless, there's nobody else, she cried out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," or we can say, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." She helplessly took shelter of the holy name of Krishna. And because she took shelter of the holy name of Krishna, Krishna appeared in the form of cloth, unlimited cloth. Dushasan, so powerful, the strength of 10,000 elephants, could not disrobe Draupadi. And finally he was defeated. Krishna's devotee is always protected. The best thing that one can do in life is to become fully surrendered to Krishna. It's the best insurance policy. Just dependence on God. You know, they have this LIC, life insurance policy. They put this shloka, yoga, chema, vaham. It's actually stolen from Bhagavad Gita. Nobody can protect you. It's an illusion. Even the directors of LIC, they cannot protect themselves. There's no protection. It's just some monetary help after you die. You will not get it. It's just an illusion. But if you depend on Krishna, you are always protected. If you just realize this one sentence, yes, Krishna, I am yours. I am completely dependent on you. And to the degree you depend on Krishna, to that degree Krishna reciprocates. See, if you say, okay, Krishna, I'm chanting around, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But you know, I have my family members to help me. And plus, the doctor is always there. You know, if allopathy doesn't work, Ayurveda is always there. And then this is there and that is there. Plus, the government is there. Plus, Hare Krishna is also there. So then you don't receive the mercy. Dependence means full dependence. Like yesterday, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was so beautifully speaking. In the lecture, he was quoting that song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Maro bi rakho bi jo ichha tohar nitya das prati tuva adhikar. It's a very, very deep song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He's a great acharya. He's an example of a person, family man with so many responsibilities. But through his words and his example, he's teaching us that how one must depend on Krishna. Maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha tohar. My dear Lord, if you want to kill me, please kill me immediately. If you want to protect me, please protect me. Protect me. A devotee doesn't pray that, my dear Lord, you must protect me physically. Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktya pranashyati. But that sentence doesn't necessarily mean that Krishna protects the physical body of the devotee. Many times Krishna protects, but sometimes Krishna, just to show some other lesson to the world, lets his devotee leave his body. Like Abhimanyu left, Jatayu left, fighting for the Lord. The devotee must have faith that, yes, once I surrender to Krishna, whatever Krishna does, it is for my well-being. I am a slave in Krishna's lotus feet. I am a sold-out animal. I am Krishna's dog. I am Krishna's property. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says in another song, Ami to tomara, tumi to amara. Ami to tomara, tumi to amara. I am yours and you are mine. This feeling of possessive of Krishna that everybody can have. You see, if you say that this Maruti car is mine, and if I say it's mine, then it will not be very good. There'll be a problem, right? But Radha Gopinath, everybody can say he is mine. Is it not? Everybody can say Radha Gopinath is mine. Gaurneta is mine. Krishna is mine. Krishna is so kind, he can expand himself in such a way that he is available to every living being, even to the non-devotees. Paramatma is always there. Everybody has a private Paramatma copy. Everybody has a Paramatma. It's not that, oh, Paramatma is busy with another devotee, so he cannot talk to him. Paramatma is with us. He is always with us. Just to realize this fact, that Krishna within the heart is always with me. He is my well-wisher. That is a peace formula. How often are we conscious of Krishna? Somebody asks, is Krishna there in the heart? You say, what do you mean? We all know. We studied in moral science and in KG class, God is in the heart. But to remember, is Krishna is always with me. That can make one fearless. Otherwise, this world is a very dangerous place. There is danger at every step. Is it not? Padam padam yadipadam natesha. Last month I was in Ahmedabad at some devotee's home for a few days. And they were telling me that during the beginning of December, some devotees were going to distribute books during Srila Prabhupada's marathon. So it was a highway going from Ahmedabad to Gandhinagar, about 20-30 kilometers. And there were two cars, one following the other with books. In the first car, there was one family, husband, wife, and one daughter, and one other brother, five people. And the other car, there were some other devotees. And they were going through highway where there was a big divider between the two sides. It was not like the road where, you know, both traffic can come. There's a big divider, 3 feet in between. And it so happened that this devotee was driving, and suddenly from the other side, a big vehicle, big, what they called Scorpio, big vehicle, just somehow just leaped across the divider and just came gushing onto this small little car. And this devotee was totally shocked. And what can you do when you're just driving and, you know, some other car comes just to, not lovingly, but this is a very fearful embrace. So he just tried to turn a little bit, but this was coming with such speed. Somehow or other, that Scorpio vehicle had lost control. The tire was punctured or something and just jumped across. And the two cars, they just smashed against each other. They were down the road, completely pulp, completely to pieces. No sign. The whole body of the vehicle was down to the ground. And meanwhile, the devotees who were behind, they were watching and they were aghast. In the other car, they were thinking now what to expect. They were fearing even to open the door of the car. But somehow or other, you know, they dared to open the door and they found that by Krishna's mercy, everybody was not even alive, but everybody was in good health. There was not even a drop of blood coming out. This was completely amazing story, the true story. And then, of course, the car was injured, and by the insurance company, they got everything back. The insurance people were saying that your radiator is still working. If your radiator would have been damaged, we would have given you a new car. So I was telling the devotees when they told me this story, that by the laws of karma, or by because of your some previous misdeeds, you would have probably been insured or died. But because you were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, Krishna protected you. When a devotee is engaged in serving Srila Prabhupada or in serving Krishna, serving Radha Gopinath, he's protected by Krishna specially. By material nature, Krishna is protecting everybody. But to one who surrenders to Krishna, one who tries to push forward the mission of Srila Prabhupada, Krishna gives him special protection. After hearing this story and my explanation, again devotees started distributing more books. Because Prabhupada's service is the highest service. Serving Krishna by serving his pure devotee. So one should have this faith, yes. Krishna is always with me. He is always with me. He is protecting me. So as you know, Draupadi was protected. But again, Duryodhan was so envious. Again he called for a gambling match. And this time it was decided that whoever loses has to go to the forest for 12 years. And then he has to stay 1 year incognito. Agyatvas. So the Pandavas lost. And they had to go to the forest. And while they were in the forest, Duryodhana, see how loving friend he is. His envy could not be contained. He saw the Pandavas were in the forest and he wanted to camp just near the Pandavas, just to show that, see, I am in a kingly position, whereas you are like beggars moving around in the forest. And it so happened that the Pandavas were staying in a place which was just nearby where the Gandharvas were staying. So Duryodhana and his followers, they were proud And they thought, we have the right to be here. And they started fighting with the Gandharvas, Chitrarath and others. You know, Gandharvas are not ordinary living beings. They are very powerful. And they defeated Duryodhan and he was arrested. And meanwhile, the news came to the Pandavas. Then Bhima heard that Duryodhan is arrested. He said, Hari Bol. Bhima had some very special relationship. But Yudhishthir Maharaj, he told Arjuna, you go and help them. Even though they are acting as our enemies, they are our brothers. So go and help. Release Duryodhan from the Gandharvas. Now, even our deepest of imagination, would any one of you think of giving such a kind treatment to somebody who hates you, tries to murder you, tries to kidnap your wife or set your house on fire? What will be your reaction if such a person is in danger? You will say, let him suffer. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. But here we see Yudhishthir Maharaj. All good qualities you find in a devotee. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarve gune samasatah sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna. That for one who is a pure devotee of Krishna, you will find all good qualities are manifesting. Humility, tolerance, forgiveness, mercifulness, friendliness, peacefulness, all good qualities will develop. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Although such a sublime science, such a exalted science, it is so easy. Just by sincerely chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can gradually cleanse the heart of all desires for material enjoyment and develop pure love for Krishna. Once you have love for Krishna, you can love Krishna, love everybody, because everybody is an expansion of Krishna. Everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna. Again, during this exile period, the Pandavas were in Kamyavan. And in Kamyavan, it so happened that once Durvasa Muni was visiting Duryodhan and was very happy with his services. So he asked Duryodhan for a benediction. And Duryodhan said that you should go and visit the Pandavas. And go at a time when Draupadi has finished taking her prasad. You know, Draupadi had one Akshay Patra, one utensil. Whereby she could serve to as many devotees or as many people as she wanted. Which we should have here in every center. We can just go on distributing prasad. So, Draupadi, she had this. But the only condition was that once Draupadi finished eating, then there would not be any more prasad till the next day. Duryodhan knew of all this situation. So, he said, you should go at a time after Draupadi had finished her prasad. So Draupadi had finished prasad and suddenly Durvasa Muni comes with a small group of people. You know, Durvasa Muni had a small group, 60,000. And he just enters and Yudhishthir Maharaj and Draupadi and Bhima, and they respectfully offer obeisances. Said, oh Maharaji, welcome. Will you like to take some prasad? Durvasa Muni said, yes, that's what I have come for. So they were in great anxiety what to do. So, Yudhishthir Maharaj told them, please go and take bath, we will prepare prasad. So they went to take bath in the river Yamuna. This is in Kamyavan, the part of Brajamandal. So, in the meanwhile, there was no resources. It was not that they had some kitchen there, they could immediately cook some puris or cook some prasad. So, Yudhishthir Maharaj and Draupadi, everybody was in great anxiety. And Draupadi, she cried out to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So as soon as Draupadi called for Krishna, Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared. And Krishna also, as soon as he came, he said, Draupadi, I am hungry. Is there any prasad? Draupadi said, because there is nothing, that's why we have called you. We don't have any prasad. Please see something. So Draupadi just saw and there was a small particle, one bit of leaf, shak, something was there. Some people say rice was there. And she offered it to Krishna. And Krishna accepted it. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. As soon as Krishna accepted it, he was satisfied. And as soon as Krishna was satisfied, everybody was satisfied. Today morning, we heard the Bhagavatam class that how you water the root of the tree, then all the parts are nourished. So if Krishna is satisfied, then everybody is satisfied. And suddenly, Durvasa Muni and his followers, they were taking bath in the river Yamuna. And suddenly they felt they were completely full, like something like just after the Sunday feast. Completely satisfied. So, Lord Krishna is the root of the tree. If we satisfy Krishna, then everybody is satisfied. If you give food to the stomach, then all the parts of the body are satisfied. So by serving Krishna, we are serving everybody. So Lord Krishna told Bhimsen, please go and call Durvasa Muni and his followers. Bhimsen said, my dear Lord, Prasad is not ready. How can I call? Lord Krishna said, just go, have faith in me. And take your club with you. You know, Bhimsen had that club, that gada. Gada said, saw gadhon ko mara tha. You know, he took that club and he went marching down. Durvasa Muniji, Prasad is ready. And Durvasa Muni was thinking, my God, we have just feeling completely full. Draupadi must have cooked some big feast. And we can't eat it. If we don't eat it, it is offensive. So what should we do? So he told Bhimsen that you proceed, we are just following you. We are coming, please carry on. And as soon as Bhimsen turned this way, Durvasa Muni left from the other side. So there are innumerable stories like this. And these are true stories from the Shastras. Krishna is protecting devotees not only 5,000 years back, Pandavas, millions of years back, Prahlad Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj, even now devotees, Krishna is always protecting. Have faith in Krishna. Have faith in God. That is the highest thing. Like today morning, Radhanath Maharaj was so beautifully explaining the meaning of the word faith. You know, sometimes people become bewildered. Non-atheists, they tell, what is this? You are chanting Hare Krishna and you are also having diseases. And we are also not chanting and we are also sometimes having, and sometimes devotees have more problems. See, that's somebody may get bewildered. We see sometimes that devotees, they are struggling financially. They hardly have any money to eat. And there are non-devotees who are staying in big bungalows and traveling in air-conditioned cars. So one may ask, what is this? Is Krishna not in control? Is he not Lakshmipati? Why is he not giving me Lakshmi? Shridhar Kholavecha also, he was selling banana leaves. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would test him. You know, that Shridhar, what do you have? What has Krishna given you? You have a roof, it's leaking, water is coming down. There's not enough food in your home to fill your belly many times. The Shridhar replied, my dear Lord, I am not very opulent situation, but I am getting something. I am not starving. Krishna is giving me something. Prabhupada writes a nice point here that a devotee should not endeavor to get something which is difficult to endeavor. Prayasa. Devotee is satisfied with whatever comes easily. Whatever comes easily. And especially in family life, you know, no matter how much you have, you feel that you could have little more. There's no end. The Bhagavatam explains in the teachings of ideal family life. There's one chapter, the 7th canto, where Narada Muni is explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj that a person in family life should associate with devotees again and again and hear about Krishna and should be satisfied with what comes easily. And suppose the husband is working 8 hours a day and getting money and still the wife is not satisfied. She says, I want this and this and this and this. Then what should the husband do? Narada Muni says he should say, yes, 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 yes. And he should not do anything, Hare Krishna. And similarly, if the wife does everything nicely at home and still the husband is not satisfied, then he should say, yes, 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 yes. Because certain things, you can't help it. Material nature is in control. Through Krishna is in control through material nature. Devotee should not endeavor unnecessarily for material things. Be satisfied with whatever comes easily. And be satisfied by chanting the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. See, when we hear these qualities of a devotee, then we may ask, this is all right for Yudhishthira Maharaj and Sridhar Kholavecha and Prahlad Maharaj, but you know, I am a modern person. I am not on that level. So, how do these things apply to me? It seems like a theoretical seminar. How can I come to that level? So, the answer is very simple. Just by chanting sincerely, purely, with a desire to serve Krishna and his devotees, all these good qualities will automatically develop. The holy name is so powerful that anybody in any place, at any time, who cries out for the mercy of the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Just by sincerely taking shelter of the holy name, all good qualities will develop. It is explained in one spiritual literature called Hari Vansha Puran. Vedecha Ramayana Chaiva Purane Bharate Tatha Adyavante cha madhye cha hari sarvatra ghiyate. Throughout the Vedas, the Ramayana, the Puranas and the Mahabharata, from beginning to end, only the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari are sung. The essence of all spiritual knowledge is contained in the chanting of the holy name. And that is what we see in the life of Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, he is an example of a person who not only preached the glories of the holy name, but he himself chanted the holy name. You see, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is a story of how Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, they are talking to each other. They are glorifying each other. So Haridas Thakur is telling Sanatan Goswami that you are so fortunate that Lord Chaitanya is saying that his body is your body is his possession. He's calling your body his own possession. I am not so fortunate. Although I have taken birth in this holy land of Bharat Varsha, I am not so fortunate. Sanatana Goswami replied, he said, Lord Chaitanya's mission is to inundate the world with the chanting of the holy name. And he has selected you to be the acharya for the holy name. And then he spoke one very beautiful verse. Achar kare keho na kare prachar, prachar kare keho na kare achar. Some behave very nicely, but they do not preach. Sometimes out of humility or some reason they don't preach. And some preach very nicely, but their behavior is not proper. Some people there, they give very nice lectures, but then privately they are smoking bidis. You know. So, some behave very nicely, but they don't preach. Some preach very nicely, but they don't behave nicely. Whereas you, O Haridas Thakur, achar prachar tumi dui karyakar, that You are doing both achar and prachar. That means you are not only preaching the glories of the holy name, but by your example, you are teaching how to take shelter of the holy name. One should take shelter of the holy name, not just chant the holy name mechanically. Today morning, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining how, you know, that when you are in a situation, it's not that you just say, suppose you are drowning, you know, you are in danger, you know that somebody can help you with a boat. It's not that you will just call very mildly, help, help. You'll be calling out sincerely. So devotee's chanting is a prayerful chanting. Chanting is a form of prayer. A prayer to be engaged in Krishna's service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself teaches in the Shikshashtakam the mood of chanting. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budhau kripaya tava pada pankaja sita dhuli sadrisham vichintya. Ai nanda tanuja. Oh my dear son of Maharaj Nanda, I am drowning. I am drowning in this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up. Please rescue me. That should be the mood in chanting. I remember a few years back, we had gone to Jagannath Puri, and unfortunately, one of the devotees, he was swimming in the water in Puri, and it so happened that he was in danger. And of course, by the grace of Lord Jagannath, many devotees, they went together, surrounded him and helped him to come out. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that we are in this material world, we are drowning, and the spiritual master has given the holy name to save us. If you are drowning and if you see somebody going across with a boat, how would you ask for help? It's not that you would say help, help. You'll be in anxiety, the transcendental anxiety, that eagerness to attain the mercy of the Lord. That should be the mood in chanting. Like Gajendra the elephant, when he was in danger, if you know that story, and he was just taking bath in the lake with his family members, just enjoying, maybe it was a Sunday morning or something like that, just enjoying, and suddenly this crocodile comes in. You know, the least expected thing, the greatest danger can come. This is material nature. There's no notice. There's no notice. And Gajendra, he fought for a long time. But then he realized, it's impossible. I am helpless. So he remembered the prayers of his previous birth. He cried out to the Lord. And immediately, Lord appeared with his Sudarshan Chakra and chopped off the head of the crocodile and saved his devotee. We are in that same situation. This whole material existence is like this. This lake. And Maya is the crocodile. Kal, the time is a crocodile. It's just a matter of time that the crocodile is closing its jaws. Every one of us is in the jaws of death. The illusion is that we are thinking, you know, the crocodile is closing his mouth, but it's not so fast. It will take some time till it closes. In the meanwhile, I'll enjoy a little bit. The fact is, the death can come any time. There's no notice. It's not that, you know, if you have to vacate a flat, generally they give you 1 month notice in Bombay. But to vacate this apartment with the 9 doors, there's no notice. Anytime you'll be asked to leave. And you may say, oh, I'm very busy. No, no, no problem. You have to come. That final journey is a sponsored journey. You have to go there. The devotee should be very alert. Yes. Krishna, I'm yours. Please take me back to your lotus feet. We should not have any attachments. We may live in this world, but be attached only to the holy name of Krishna. Some of you saw that drama in Tukaram Maharaj, you know, in the Shivaji Park. There's one other part of it that when Tukaram Maharaj was going back to Godhead, the tradition people, they say that he told his wife, you can also come. Right? They did not show in the drama that part, you know. You can also come. Although his wife was not not such a pure devotee, she would actually give him a lot of trouble. And of course, that is also mercy. He accepted it that way. Tukaram Maharaj was willing to help her go back to God. And she said, no, no, no. How can I go? There is, you know, my buffalo has to take care of Mangala, Bhens. Uska khyal kaun rakhega? So this material attachment can prevent us from going back to Godhead. We have to be attached only to the holy name. Otherwise, you may have your own buffalo, like my own computer, my own house. No. The time of death, one should simply take shelter of the holy name. That is perfection. We find this in Srila Prabhupada's life. He traveled all over the world, finally came to Vrindavan, and during his last days, he was completely composed. Although physically ill, his mind was totally fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. He was telling the devotees, do not think that this will not happen to you. Death will come. But for a devotee, death is like the cat picking up the kitten. The cat picks up the kitten. The kitten feels great pleasure. My mother is picking me up. But that same cat with the same mouth picks up the rat. The rat is Haribol. Is Ram Naam Satya Hai now. Where will I go now? So we have the choice. If we don't take shelter of Krishna, at the time of death, we will be like the rat, fearing in anxiety. But for one who surrenders to Krishna, Krishna says, I will take care of everything. So there's one very nice story in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stayed in Navadvip for 24 years and he took sannyas. In fact, next week is the 14th January, is the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. He left his widowed mother, he left his young wife, not because there was some family quarrel, but just to give Krishna bhakti to others. Just to give Krishna consciousness to others. This is the supreme example of renunciation. The supreme personality of Godhead, this is the only avatar where the supreme personality of Godhead accepts the mood of a sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya was propagating the Harinam, but it so happened that He was in meditation, chanting the name Gopi, Gopi. Gopi means Radharani here. And some of the students, they could not understand that. What are you chanting, Gopi, Gopi? You should be chanting the name of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya became angry, said, Krishna? Huh? That rascal Krishna? Huh? He deceived Bali Maharaj and took away everything from him. In the form of Lord Ramchandra, he disfigured Shurpanakha. Shurpanakha came with a very good proposal, according to her. You know, everything is relative. You know. And Lord Ramchandra, he had Lakshman cut off his nose. You're telling me to chant Krishna's name? And Lord Chaitanya was so angry, he ran after the student. The student ran, and finally he went to his other friends, and he was in great anxiety, and his friends asked, what happened? He said, today somehow I escaped. This Nimai Pandit, he was about to beat me up. And the students, they were discussing, that's Nimai Pandit, what does he think of himself? If he's a Brahman son, we are also Brahman sons. And they were very speaking ill words. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, he told Nityananda Prabhu, that I have come to give this medicine, Pipali Khanda. Pipali Khanda is a medicine which is used to reduce the mucus. But instead of reducing the mucus, it is having the opposite effect. Instead of people respecting me, they are offending me, and thereby their bondages are increasing. Then he told Lord Nityananda Prabhu that I shall take sannyas. On the day when the sun goes in the northern hemisphere, that is Makar Sankranti, 14 January, on that day, I shall leave home and go to Katwa. and I will accept sannyas from Keshava Bharati. And Nityananda Prabhu, when he heard this, his heart was broken. He fell to the ground. He got up and then he said, "My dear Lord, please consider what will happen to your mother." Then Lord Chaitanya Prabhu consulted several devotees. And ultimately, he decided to take sannyas. His wife Vishnupriya was also in great anxiety. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him that sometimes a person leaves his family members and goes to a distant place to earn some wealth. So in the same way, I shall leave home and get the wealth of Krishna Prem, the wealth of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this way, he explained to Vishnupriya, he explained to Shachi Mata, and then he called for the devotees and he said, "You will always feel my presence wherever there is chanting of the holy name. All of you gather together and regularly chant the holy name. I will not be separated from you." On the day of Makar Sankranti, this year happens to be the 500th anniversary. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in the year 1510, and this year is 2010. But our ISKCON society has planned many programs during this year, sannyas, 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on this final day, somehow or other, all the devotees, they came to meet Lord Chaitanya. Not all of them knew about the sannyas, but all of them came. And they offered gifts to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya garlanded them, offered sandalwood pulp. And after all the devotees had left, then Sridhar Kholavecha came. Sridhar was that banana, was the trader who was selling banana leaves. He brought a pumpkin. And Lord Chaitanya was thinking, "What will I do with it?" And some devotee brought some milk. Mahaprabhu cooked it very nicely. Shashi Mata cooked nicely and offered it to the Lord. And then Advaita and Gadadhar, they were sleeping just outside. In the middle of the night, Lord Gauranga got up. He circumambulated his mother. His mother was waiting and she was like completely stunned. He offered obeisances, circumambulated his mother, and he left. And Advaita and others said, "We also will come with you." And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, I'll just go alone." Lord Chaitanya crossed the river Ganga. In fact, that place where Lord Chaitanya crossed the river, that is called Nirdai Ghat. Daya means mercy, Nirdai Ghat. Because through that ghat that Lord Chaitanya left home. He swam across the river Ganga and reached Katwa. And he told Keshava Bharati, "Please accept me." Keshava Bharati said, "Last night," actually Lord Chaitanya told Keshava Bharati, that last night I had a dream. In the dream, I heard this mantra. Is this the proper mantra? Lord Chaitanya told the mantra to Keshava Bharati. And then Keshava Bharati gave the mantra to Lord Chaitanya. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is the guru of all gurus. He is Jagat Guru. And then when the time came for shaving the hair, this barber Madhu, he would not want to cut Lord Chaitanya's hair. Devotees were crying and feeling great pain. Lord Chaitanya told Madhu that, "This time, if you shave my hair, I will take you back home, back to Godhead." So on the order of Lord Chaitanya, he shaved his. Lord Chaitanya's hair were very beautiful. Our hairs are not beautiful, but still we like to keep them. But Lord Chaitanya's hair, they are so beautiful. And the devotees were crying. "We don't have much time. I'll just summarize in a few minutes." And falling to the ground. And this barber Madhu, after shaving, he decided, "After this, I will not shave any other hair." He decided to open a sweet meat shop instead, mithai shop. And then Lord Chaitanya, after the ceremony was over, he was in ecstasy. He was crying out, "Vrindavan, Krishna." And he said, I'm going to Vrindavan. Keshav Bharati said, I will go with you. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Katwa and he was on his way to Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu knew the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu told this little boys, little children, that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks the way to Vrindavan, then you tell him the way to Shantipur. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going in ecstasy and he saw his little children. Little children were crying out, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Little children were crying in a big voice, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Hari,
Hari.
Hari,
Hari.
Whenever we chant Hari loudly, it benefits many people. If you chant in a miserly voice, Hari, 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 then you are only benefiting yourself. But if you chant loudly, the whole of Bombay will become pure devotee. Just by chanting Hari, Hari.
Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
And then the whole India will become pure. The whole world will become pure. By chanting Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Just chant Hari, no more worry. Just Hari, Hari. Just chant Hari's name, everything will be auspicious. This is the essence of all the Shastras. Even if you don't remember all these shlokas, even if you forget your name, doesn't matter. Just remember these two syllables, Hari, Hari. The supreme blessing of all the Shastras, of all the Acharyas, of all the deities is contained in these two syllables. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy that his children were chanting the name of Hari. And recently in the Mayapur Yatra, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining so beautifully that how giving the name of Hari is the perfection of preaching. Whether through philosophy, whether through argumentation, or whether just to children, just induce people to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy, he asked the children, which is the way to Vrindavan? And then they indicated the way to Shantipur. Prabhupada says that you should ask many people in the way in India. They see get misled. So then Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. He came, he saw the river Ganga, he thought it is Yamuna. So then Nityananda Prabhu was there and Lord Chaitanya said, Nityananda, where are you going? Nityananda Prabhu said, Tomara Sange Jaibe Vrindavan. I am going with you to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya said, Kata Dur Ache Vrindavan? How far is Vrindavan? And Nityananda Prabhu said, Ei Deka Yamuna Darshan. Just see, this is Yamuna. Oh, Vrindavan is so close. Mahaprabhu was so happy. Oh, Yamuna, he offered obeisances. Oh, daughter of the sun god, I offer my obeisances to you. Oh, Yamuna Devi, you are the giver of love to Krishna. Anybody who bathes in your water gets love for Krishna. And he was taking bath. He saw Advaita Acharya was there with a boat and with fresh clothes. He said, Advaita, how did you know I am in Vrindavan? Advaita said, welcome to Shantipur. This is not Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya was thinking, why? Nityananda Amar Vanchaila, Nityananda Prabhu has cheated me. Advaita said, no, no, no. Actually, the river Ganga and Yamuna, they both meet in Prayag. And the western part of the river is called Yamuna. And the eastern is called Ganga. And today you have taken bath in the western part. So today you have taken bath in Yamuna. Please come home. My wife has prepared nice prasad. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, both of them went with Advaita Acharya to the home of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. In the meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu sent messages to all the devotees from Navadvip who were struck in the pain of separation. They all came running to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shachi Mata also came. She was carried in a palanquin. And Lord Chaitanya saw all the devotees. He offered obeisances to his mother and said, I am ever grateful to you. You have brought me up. Unknowingly, I have accepted sannyas. See, this is Mahaprabhu's style of speaking. He planned everything and said, unknowingly, I have taken sannyas. Now, this body is your property. Please tell me what I should do. I would like to go to Vrindavan. But if you like, I will come back to Navadvip. So Shachi Mata replied that if you go to Vrindavan, I will not get any news. Because Vrindavan and Navadvip are very far. At that time, they didn't have any email or website, you know, mahaprabhu@vrindavan.com. Or so there will be no way of knowing. And if you come back and stay in Navadvip, people will criticize you. How can a sannyasi stay at home? But that same Lord who stays in Vrindavan, he's staying in Puri in the form of Lord Jagannath. So you should stay in Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya accepted the order of his mother. Chachi Mata told the devotees that as long as Nimai is here, because you will be able to see Nimai again, I will not be able to see. As long as Nimai is here, I would like to cook prasad. So for 10 days, there was a festival. Coming back to that first day, Advaita Acharya had cooked the nice feast. Lord Chaitanya was so happy just to see the prasadam offered to Krishna. He said, just give me a little banana leaf and I will accept some rice and some vegetables. And Advaita Acharya said, no, you have to accept just the way Krishna has accepted. Lord Chaitanya said, I am a sannyasi. How can I accept? Advaita said, I know the real purpose of your sannyas. I know who you are. In Jagannath Puri, you are accepting 56 offerings. In Braj, you are accepting offerings in the home of Nanda Maharaj and his four brothers. Plus in Dwarka, you are accepting prasad at 16,108 palaces. And compared to what you can eat, this is only a morsel. Please accept it. Lord Chaitanya was accepting. And as soon as he would finish one item, Advaita would start serving again that item in a little bit. And for the pleasure of Advaita, Lord Chaitanya was eating. In the meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu was also eating. And Nityananda Prabhu was saying, I've been fasting for 3 days. Today I was thinking I'll be able to break my fast. But this prasad is so little, it's as good as being fasting. Then Nityananda Prabhu told Advaita, this is very little. Advaita said, see, you have come to my home. You are a mendicant. So whatever is available, please accept it. Give up your greedy mentality. And Nityananda Prabhu said, you have invited me to your home. It's your duty to satisfy me. Advaita Acharya said, you may eat many pounds of prasad, rice. How can I provide? Just accept whatever is there. And Lord Nityananda was accepting some prasad and he said that this is not enough. Advaita Acharya said, I know who you are. You are a reject paramhamsa. Your business is simply to give trouble to brahmanas. Please accept this. And Advaita Nityananda Prabhu became somewhat transcendently angry, threw the rice to the ground, says, useless, it's not going to satisfy me. And one of the particles of the rice touched the ground and jumped off and touched the body of Advaita. And Advaita was in ecstasy chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Advaita was chanting, he was ecstasy, and he said, what is this? I have been touched by the food of a madman and therefore I have become mad. Nityananda Prabhu said, this was Krishna Prasad. You have offended Krishna Prasad by calling it ordinary food. Now, as an atonement for this offense, you should invite 100 sannyasis. So, Nisradana Swami Maharaj. Salnes Radhana Swami Maharaj ki jai. So Lord Advaita Acharya, he replied that after serving you, I will never invite any other sannyasi. So in this way, there was a loving exchange. You see, Advaita and Nityananda, their talks, they are praising each other. Although it may appear like, criticizing. But actually, that is praising. So this pastime went on for some time. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eager to go to Jagannath Puri. And then Advaita Acharya said, please stay for some more days. And Lord Chaitanya decided to stay for almost 10 days. He stayed at the home of Advaita Acharya. Finally, when Lord Chaitanya was about to leave, Advaita Acharya, some devotees said, "My dear Lord, there are a lot of obstacles. There is fights between nations. It's not a good time to go." But Lord Chaitanya said, "When will there be a time when there will be no more obstacles?" And Advaita Acharya immediately replied, "My dear Lord, all obstacles are your servants." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left for Jagannath Puri. We have only 5 minutes left. Just in short, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left for Puri with few devotees like Nityananda, Gadadhar, Brahmananda and Govinda. And then as he left, he asked the devotees who were accompanying him, "Have you taken any supplies or any food or any money with you?" They said, "No, we have not taken anything. How could we take without your permission?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Very good. It is very good that you have not taken. If you would have taken anything, I would have sent you back right here." Lord Chaitanya said, "It is Krishna who arranges everything." The same point which I was saying earlier, total dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Jagannath Puri. On the way, they had to cross a toll tax, like something like you have toll tax nowadays, you have to pay for vehicle. At that time, you had to pay for every individual. For every individual who comes, you have to pay a tax. So when the tax collector, when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he was completely captivated. He said, "You can go forward, but these 4 or 5 people, are they with you?" Lord Chaitanya replied, "In this world, I am alone." "There is nobody with me." And you know, Lord Chaitanya already told them that you should not carry any money with you. So they were surprised. Now what to do? And Lord Chaitanya went forward and the toll collector said, "You have to pay tax." You cannot go without paying tax. So finally, this toll collector, when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so much captivated by his beauty. Then he turned to these devotees and asked, "Who is this person?" And he explained that this is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He is our Lord. And that toll collector, he went and surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he allowed everybody to go without paying taxes. I will end with one last story. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Jagannath Puri, he came to a place called Chhatrabhog, where there is the Sangam of Lord Shiva and Ganga. That there is one beautiful ghat there. It is called Ambulinga Ghat, where Lord Shiva is there in the form of water. And Ganga is also there. Lord Shiva wanted to have association of Mother Ganga. Lord Chaitanya proceeded further from Ambulinga Ghat after taking bath. Then he had to cross a river. And there was a governor whose name was Ramchandra Khan. So Ramchandra Khan was coming in a palanquin. And just by seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got down from the palanquin and offered obeisances. Lord Chaitanya asked, "Who are you?" Ramchandra Khan. This was a good Ramchandra Khan. There is one Ramchandra Khan in Haridas Thakur. But this was a good person. Ramchandra Khan offered obeisances. And he said, "I am simply the servant of your servant." That is the qualification to receive the mercy of the Lord, to be the servant of the servant. And finally, then other devotees said, "He is the governor, he is the governor." And Lord Chaitanya said, "You are the governor, please show me which is the way to Jagannath Puri. I would like to go towards Jagannath Puri." And then he explained, "My dear Lord, it's a time of war. There are soldiers on both sides. There's war between, because the king of Bengal was a Muslim and the Odisha, the king was a Hindu. So it's not safe. Please wait. Just come and honor prasad at my home. And tomorrow I will make arrangements for you to cross the river." So he made arrangements for prasad and all. Lord Chaitanya was so much in ecstasy. He didn't know whether it was day or night, whether he was on ground or whether in the sky. And he he was just eating just out of formality a little bit. And the devotees, they had good prasad because they had been traveling. And then Ramchandra Khan arranged for a nice boat. As soon as they got on the boat, Lord Chaitanya told Mukunda, you start singing kirtan. And Mukunda started singing Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Stop it, stop it. The boatman said, stop this kirtan. Do you not know there are man-eating crocodiles here and there are thieves here? And if you perform this kirtan, they will come and attack us. Stop the kirtan. Mukunda that stopped the kirtan. Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda, why have you stopped the kirtan? When he explained the fear of the boatmen, Lord Chaitanya said, do not fear. The Sudarshan Chakra is moving in front of the boat. When the devotees are chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Do not be fearful. And Mukunda started chanting Hare Krishna. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded. And after going through different places, he reached in a place, a river called Bhargi Nadi. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu handed his danda to Nityananda Prabhu. And he said, I'll just take bath, you hold this danda. And Nityananda Prabhu was thinking in his mind that Lord Chaitanya, Supreme Lord, he doesn't have to carry a danda. So he broke the one danda into three pieces, first making it three danda, and then he threw it in the river. Lord Chaitanya came and asked Nityananda Prabhu, where is my danda? He said, your danda, you were in ecstasy, you fell on me, I fell on the danda, and danda was broken. So Lord Chaitanya said, I am not going to travel with you. This my only possession was danda, and you have broken it. So either you go ahead or I will go ahead. And devotee said, my dear Lord, you go ahead. The Lord went running. He had darshan of Bhuvaneshwar Mahadev. And finally, actually just before that, just after Bhuvaneshwar, he saw the chakra of Lord Jagannath, the chakra. And he fell to the ground unconscious. And again he started running. And finally he reached Jagannath Puri and just about to embrace Lord Jagannath. And in ecstasy he was unconscious. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realized that this is not an ordinary person. And the other watchmen and others, they were thinking that what is this? They were about to attack him, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no. And he took him to his home, and then there's a very beautiful story of how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was delivered. We don't have time. We'll maybe next week can continue this Leela. But in conclusion, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a Mayavadi at that time, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he became a great devotee. At first he was thinking, I will instruct Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For 7 days he was instructing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just listening like a child. And then finally Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you are listening, you are not asking any questions. Bhujita ki na bhujita? Are you understanding or not? And he said, I can understand. The verses are very clear like the sun. But your explanations, they are like the cloud. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was surprised, you know. Somebody says, Prabhuji, the Gita verse was like the sun and your explanation was like a cloud. That's an insult. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had discussion with him and he defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And finally Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked, my dear Lord, of all the processes of devotional service, which is the best? And Lord Chaitanya replied, of all the process, the best is the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishnam, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this week or this year is the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. We should meditate on this Leela, meditate on the supreme compassion of the Supreme Lord. No other avatar is as compassionate as Lord Gauranga. Lord Narasingadev comes and kills Hiranyakashipu, open heart surgery. It's finished. Lord Krishna comes and comes, Sudarshan Chakra kills Shishupal. Lord Ramchandra with his bow and arrow kills Ravan in Kumbhkaran. But only in this avatar, Lord Gauranga is so kind that he takes sannyas to chase those who are criticizing him. This mood of compassion is what we should meditate on. And we should try to assist Srila Prabhupada and his representatives in spreading the message of the holy name. The holy name is a supreme benediction, and it is available to anybody. There is no restriction of time and place. But we can only chant properly if we follow Mahaprabhu's teaching of Trinadapi Suni Chena Taror Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, give all respects to others and expect no respect in return. If you have this consciousness, then we can chant the holy name. And one nice lecture, Radhanath Maharaj was saying that this is the real meaning of sannyas. Even a grahastha can be a sannyasi if he has this consciousness. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. Such a state of mind, we can always chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Let us spend just a few seconds praying for Lord Chaitanya's mercy to get taste for the holy name. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.